This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Be quiet. Flipping heck. Oh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh my gosh. Starting with technical failures, alhamdulillah, but inshallah, with bi'idhnillah, all praise is due to Allah. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudillala wa may yudlil fala hadiyala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him and we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness, and we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Anyone whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, but anybody whom Allah leaves to go astray, no one can guide. And I testify that Allah alone, He alone is worthy of worship. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. When I say His servant, he means His worshipper. He is the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the worshipper of Allah and His messenger. So, Aminullah, Doreen, Hassan, you guys, assalamu alaikum. For joining me, all of you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, alhamdulillah, for joining me for this Facebook Live. And today, we are going to be talking about some really, 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 really important subjects. We're going to be talking about marriage, we're going to be talking about sex, and we're going to be talking about love. And each one of them on their own is a massive topic. So my mind has been like, ever since I said this is what I'm going to talk about last week, my mind has been spinning like, what am I going to say? But what I'm going to try and do is combine these things together and to understand. My main objective tonight, brothers and sisters, my main objective, I have a simple objective tonight, and that is to help you understand why what Islam teaches about these things is totally the right stuff. It's the right way, it's the right stuff. And I particularly chose this, obviously, because just the other day was Saint Valentine's Day. And alhamdulillah, well done, Pakistan, for, you know, taking a stand in doing something about this really, really, you know, they dress it up as love, right? They dress it up as love, right? But in reality, it's just another commercial enterprise. Because in order to express your love for somebody, you have to get them a card, you have to get them flowers, you have to take them, give them chocolates, you have to take them out for dinner. Like, you know, love is all about things after all, isn't it? It's about how much you can buy for a person, right? Is that love? Is that what love is? No, that's not what love is. And it's all about, well, obviously in the West, they don't even consider illicit love anymore, right? They don't think that having sex outside of marriage and falling in love with someone outside of marriage is even a problem. In fact, it's the opposite way around. I mean, you know, now it's like marriage is the thing that's the problem, right? And we're going to discuss this. We are going to discuss this because it's not all bad. We can't deny it. You know, this is a very important thing I want you to understand, brothers and sisters. And I'll probably be mentioning this again and again in my Facebook Lives. One of the things we Muslims get wrong is we imagine that because something is haram, like everything about it is bad. It's haram, it's totally bad, there's no good in it. And because something is halal, it's all good, it's amazing, there's just not one single little bad thing. And that is not how it is. And listen, here's the proof. Allah mentions about alcohol in the Quran that there is good in it and there is evil in it. But the evil of it is much, much more than the good. So leave it. And this is a very important principle in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we are weighing up. That's what we do. There is good and bad in everything. That when I say good and bad, I mean benefit and harm. This is really what we're really, there's a benefit for us and there is a harm for us. So alcohol has a benefit. It does. It has a benefit. There is a benefit. Like if I'm a person who sells alcohol, I sell it and I get some money. That money is a benefit. Okay, the money is haram. Yes, it's haram money and Allah may not bless it. But there is benefit. Even according to some scientists, right? There is a benefit in alcohol in that, you know, it does something for your heart and whatever, right? So, okay, we can accept maybe that's true. But even if it's true, the harm is so much. The harm is so great. The harm is so bad that whatever little benefit there is, it's negligible. It's stupid and not intelligent to drink alcohol thinking, oh yeah, there's this little benefit, when there is this massive harm. And this is the case with everything in Islam, right? So this is something very important we need to understand, our youth need to understand. So let's start with marriage. Let's start with marriage. Is marriage all good? No. Is marriage all beneficial? No. Anyone who is married, anyone who's been married, will testify like how tough marriage is and how many constraints and difficulties it can put in your life, right? There is no doubt about that, okay? So marriage, is it all good? No, it's not all good, right? Yet, it is something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us it's half of our deen, half of our way of life, half of our way of living. It's half of this religion of ours. Half of it. Half, brothers and sisters, think about that. Half of your deen. Half. Why? Marriage. Wow. That's something we need to think about, right? Marriage is really, really important, okay? And the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about marriage in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ, he told the youth, get married. Get married. He's told the parents, get your kids married young, right? Especially the girls. Don't make haste in getting them married. Now, I'm only saying this, brothers and sisters, to emphasize the importance of marriage. However, I'm going to make a very important, I'm going to make some words of caution here, right? And the words of caution are, first of all, right? This is for you. Primarily, this is part of the problem, right? We have to realize that when we read the Quran, when we look at what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, we first of all need to think, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me, right? This is guidance for myself, not so you can point fingers at others and say, oh, look at you, you're not married. Oh, your daughter's not married. Your son's not married. Ooh, aren't you bad? Oh, aren't you naughty? We love doing that, don't we? Right? We love sitting there in judgment on everybody else. And this is a big problem. This is a big problem. How do you know about people's own situations? You don't know. Don't be a judge. You know, we don't need to enforce stuff on people. It's enough. Allah says it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it. Of course, we can advise people if we are the sort of people who have the capability and the knowledge and the insight and the understanding and the hikmah and the ikhlas, the sincerity to give advice, right? And we're not just doing it because we want to feel good about ourselves, because that's part of the problem, right? How often do we give advice to other people because it makes us feel good about ourselves? No. So this is very important, brothers and sisters, because I don't want this to be a means of making judgment upon others. This is for you to act upon it if that's the right thing. Because another beautiful thing, if you look in Islam, if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll always find that yes, although the Prophet is telling us to do this and Allah is telling us to do that, in reality, you will find many circumstances when people come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they explain to him, Ya Rasulullah, you know, you've said this and you said that, but my circumstances are like this and like that. I'll give you an example, right? There was one man, and generally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us, and inshallah, hopefully this is for men and women, right? To marry, the Prophet said, marry virgins because they are fertile, they're more fertile, and part of the benefit of marriage, as we're going to talk about, is having children, right? That's a very important major part of the purpose of marriage, right? It's the continuation of the human race, and it is a means of huge reward for you and your wife. That is one of the major ways that you will get massive amounts of reward in the akhirah. When you get married and you have kids and you bring those kids up in Islam and you teach them about Allah and you teach them about Islam, so when they pray and when they fast and when they make dhikr and when they give charity and all the good things that they do, alhamdulillah, you the parent, you will get rewarded for it. So it's and when they have kids and if they teach their kids Islam, you keep on getting rewarded for that, and on and on and on. So it's, you know, because actually, really, having kids is a form of dawah. It's a form of tarbiyah. In a way, Allah's given you these little things, these little sponges, right? And, you know, whatever you put in a kid's head, that it will absorb it. That's what they're like. If you give them Islam, alhamdulillah, they'll absorb it, like most of the time, right? But if you give them rubbish, and you give them music, and you give them TV, and you give them video games, and you give them, you know, all that nonsense, that's what they'll pick up, right? It's up to you. Where's the benefit? The benefit is for you, brothers and sisters. This is a mess. So Allah's given us these beautiful little things, these little kids. They're so beautiful. They give such joy to our heart, and they are such a great opportunity for reward for us if we bring them up in Islam, alhamdulillah. So this is kids, right? Now, I don't even remember what I was saying. I get so excited about this talk, mashallah. So I was talking about marriage and the benefit of marriage, okay? Why marriage is so important and not judging other people. So this is very important, brothers and sisters. So a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I remember. So a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, well, Ya Rasulullah, you've given this advice, you know, to marry the virgins because they will be, you know, they will have lots of kids. Okay, this is the advice the Prophet gave. He said, but I have brothers and sisters. So, and you know, my parents have died and I have sisters. He said, no, I think he had three sisters. I can't remember. And I need someone who is more mature, someone who's more sensible, you know, someone who can brush their hair and care for them and look after them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, this is the best situation for you. So you see, brothers and sisters, this is very important, right? Because I know there's some places, some Muslims who would be judgmental. Oh, look at him. Look at him. He's marrying a divorcee. Like there's some big taboo in marrying a woman who has been divorced, right? This is not a taboo in Islam. This is taboo in some cultures, some backward cultures, right? They make it taboo. And then they judge people and they make all these judgments. And, you know, they want to make everyone fit their narrow-minded, un-Islamic type of cultural thinking. Brothers and sisters, you know, we need to get out of this, right? We need to get out of this nonsense, and we need to come back to really understanding what Islam is about. Islam is to benefit us in our lives, right? It's not supposed to be like a hammer or a sword or a bat that you use to beat people over the head with. Oh, Islam, boom, Islam, boom, like ISIS or something like that, right? May Allah protect us, right? No. It's supposed to bring light and joy and happiness and balance and harmony to our lives. And it's primarily for you. That's where it starts, right? You to bring happiness in your life. But everyone has their different circumstances and their different situations. This is why I asked on my Facebook post, do we even need to get married? Well, that may be a serious question. Do you even need to get married? That you can ask that question. Although, you know, I have to say, most scholars have said that marriage is something, a lot of them have hesitated from saying it's an absolute obligation, right? And yes, there is the hadith, marriage is my sunnah, and whoever does not follow my sunnah is not part of me. But even, this is a very strong statement, but even does that mean it's an absolute obligation? There are scholars in our history who did not get married, and they did not get married simply because they were so busy and they were so immersed and so involved in seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge that they didn't get married. Okay, so that everyone has their circumstances, everyone has their situation, everyone has their own particular condition. It is perfectly valid for you to ask, do I need to get married? Is it the right time for me to get married? Sometimes we may feel pressured into getting married when we're not ready. And then there's the other situation. when we're ready to get married and we want to get married, but we're being prevented. Maybe the mahr is too high, or maybe the attitude in the society, oh no, you have to go to university first, you have to get your degree, you have to get your house, you have to get your flat, and then after you've done all of that, maybe you're 30, 40 years old or something like that, and you think about getting married, and like this person's been wanting to get married since, you know, like he was 17, right? No, I mean, you know, this is not the right approach. Every person is an individual. Everyone has their own individual needs. However, we have to, this is the beauty of Islam, right? This is the beauty of Islam. Islam has that flexibility in it. But we make it narrow when it's not narrow, right? And this is the beauty. This is the beauty of Islam. However, yes, definitely, our religion emphasizes the importance of marriage. It is something, now why is it so important? Now I think it's important from different angles. First of all, it's important individually. So let's just talk about us as individuals. How does marriage benefit you? Well, you'll only understand this when you understand something about life. Life is a test. Life is a test. This is very important, brothers and sisters, right? So I want you to dispel this idea, right? This very dangerous, and we're going to be talking about this, this idea of romantic love. And the idea that marriage has to be full of this romantic love. And that is not going to happen. It may happen. There may be romantic love in marriage. It might happen. But actually, I'm going to show you why that is not the case. Because my talk is about love, sex, and marriage. Sex, and love. So I'm going to be talking about the love bit. I'm going to be talking about love, right? And I'm not saying there is no romantic love, that you can't have romantic love. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I'm going to show you why that is temporary. It's not, in most cases, it does not last throughout the whole of the marriage. It's something that lasts for a short amount of time. And there's another type of love, right? A more long and permanent and lasting love. There's not that passionate, romantic, crazy type of love, right? So we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about why marriage is so important for you as an individual. That's because, brothers and sisters, life is a test. Life is a test to see how are we going to behave. What are we going to do? Are we going to obey Allah or are we going to disobey Allah? Are we going to do what is pleasing to Allah or are we going to do what is displeasing to Allah? Are we going to follow our intellect? Are we going to develop our minds? Are we going to develop our thinking and our understanding capacity? Or are we just going to follow our desires and our passions and our, you know, our nafs, right? What are we going to do? This is the challenge, right? This is the challenge. So marriage is something that helps you fulfill your physical needs. We have these physical needs, and marriage is a vehicle, and marriage is a means through which we can fulfill many physical and actually emotional needs. There is a very strong physical need to have sex. That's a strong, and I told you I'm going to be frank about it. That is a very strong physical need that human beings have, right? It's natural, it's normal. We all human beings have it. And marriage, not all human beings, but most people have it. Marriage is the only way in Islam, the only halal, lawful, permitted way in Islam, for all intents and purposes these days, through which we can do that. Okay, so this is very, very important. Also, there are emotional needs that we have, right? We have a need for companionship. This is very important. Human beings need support. We need companionship. We need a friend. We need someone to advise us and to help us and to protect us and guard us. So, yes, life is a test. We have to navigate our way through this world like Umar ibn al-Khattab. He talked about taqwa. He was asked, what is taqwa? He said, have you ever gone along a path that is covered in thorns? And the man said, yes. He said, well, that's like taqwa, right? Life is like that. There's thorns everywhere. And you walk carefully through that so the thorns don't snag you and tear your clothes and stick in your skin. So it means this is how life is. Life is full of these thorns. these things that come out at you, these tests and these trials and these tribulations. We've talked about that in a former Facebook Live. So we'll always talk about it, inshallah. So taqwa, right, is trying to, and these things, these tests and trials and tribulations, what are they? They are the things that if you fall into them, they will hurt you. They will hurt you in this life and they will hurt you in the next life, right? These are the sins. These are the things that Allah has forbidden. So the person who has taqwa, it keeps them, it protects them, it shields them from these things that Allah has made haram. So marriage really helps you because it's not just you. You have someone else with you. So you are supporting each other and you are helping each other. This is very important, brothers and sisters. This is very important. Because what do people look for in marriage? What do people look for in marriage? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talked about this. You know, the Prophet talked about this. He said, a man or a woman, it's the same way a person looks for, what do they look for in their wife or their husband? Beauty. Right? That's one thing. Beauty. Yeah. Wealth. Status. Right? Beauty, wealth, status, lineage, same thing. Status and lineage is the same thing. Right? This is most of the time what most people look for. Right? They look for beauty. They look for wealth. They look for status. This is most, this is most people. Right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but marry the religious one. Marry the one with piety. Marry the one with taqwa and be successful. Now that doesn't mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, don't care what the person looks like, right? Actually, I think it may be important. It may not be important. It depends on you. There is no particular right or wrong in this, but generally, and the advice that I've heard scholars give, and I give myself, is that look, in this day and age, especially for those of us living in the West, not even in the West, in most Muslim countries these days, we are exposed to so many images on the TV, on the media, very highly sexualized images and ideas, right? So, and including, of course, pornography. So it really is important, I think, and that depends on you. It depends on you. So I'm not saying this is absolute, remember, but my general advice that you should marry someone that you find attractive. Now, I'm not saying you look for someone who is like, I don't know, some ridiculous idea of beauty that you may have, right? Like, no. Because you'll never get married, right? I remember, subhanAllah, you know, this conversation happened many times with brothers here, right? Oh, I want to marry someone who looks like this actress or like this model or like this or like that. And like even those actresses and those models don't look like that, right? Because when you see them without their makeup and outside the movies, they don't look like anything like the pictures, right? Some of them you wouldn't even look at them twice, right? Well, you shouldn't anyway, alhamdulillah, because you should be lowering your gaze, but you know what I mean, right? So this is the amusing thing, right? So these guys never get married. I know one brother, I don't know how long it took him to get married before he just realized, okay, right, you know, I'm going to have to be a bit realistic here, right? So this is the thing, brothers and sisters, right? But, you know, my criterion is, you know, you should marry someone that, you know, I'm not saying they're super beautiful, but at least you find them attractive. Now, when I say should, you may not care about this, alhamdulillah. You may just care that this person is sweet and funny and kind and, you know, whatever, right? That may be important. Maybe you just, you know, maybe wealth is important for you. Maybe that's something psychologically important. You want to be looked after, you want to be cared for, whatever, right? But the Prophet, and so the Prophet is saying, it's not that you can't take these things into account, but the Prophet said, but marry the pious one. Piety should be there. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing in this whole world, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this whole world is green and verdant. Subhanallah. You know, I look out of my window, brothers and sisters, here in England, right, in the morning, and I see beautiful green hills because I live like in a town in the countryside, and I just look out and I see the green hills and I drive through. And, you know, you can see it on my Facebook page, not my official Facebook page, my personal. You know, you can see that's a picture of, like, near where I live, the hills. That's what it looks like. It's beautiful. And, you know, I drive, and sometimes I'm just like, wow, this is the dunya. If this is this world, what is paradise like? But the Prophet said that a pious woman is the best thing in this whole world. Better than a Ferrari, better than a, you know, Lamborghini, better than a big house, better than, you know, all the nice things you can think of. The best thing for you in this dunya is a pious woman. And the best thing, sisters, for you is going to be a pious husband, right? Seriously. Because you will be a garment for them. And this is how, this is the beautiful way Allah describes the relationship between the husband and the wife. You are a garment for them, and they are a garment for you. And what does a garment do? A garment protects, right? It beautifies. It beautifies. A garment can make you look more beautiful, and it protects you from the elements, from the sun and the rain and the cold. And this is how the relationship between the husband and the wife should be, right? One of protecting one another, helping one another. You are on a journey together to Allah. Right? And you've got to help each other reach Allah to get to that goal. And that's why you're married, and that's why you're having kids. And if you keep that in mind and you keep reminding yourself, why did you get married? Right? You got married because you are going to supposed to help each other on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And look how Allah. And you know how, so this is how the relationship should be. And look how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he gave this beautiful description of, you know, that this good, beautiful situation between the husband and the wife, right? So when the husband, like, he is waking up for tahajjud, he's waking up for the night prayer. And, you know, he gets some water and he sprinkles it on his wife's face to wake her up. If she doesn't, you know, wake up. You know, darling, wake up. We're going to pray tahajjud. MashaAllah. They're praying tahajjud together, right? And if she doesn't wake up, she sprinkles water in her face to wake her up, you know? And the same way around, if she wakes up and he doesn't, she wakes him up. Now, like most people, like, you know, you can imagine. You sprinkle water. What are you doing to me? Like this, you know, like, oh my God. No, but this, you see, this is Islam. Islam is this beautiful kindness, not the hitting each other that I was doing before. That, you know, you sprinkle water in the person to wake up for tahajjud. Yeah. So this is how the relationship should be between. And look, if you're like this with each other, alhamdulillah, you're going to help each other get to Jannah. Right. So alhamdulillah, you can now see. I think you can now begin to understand why marriage is so important. So it's important for you as an individual, right? But it is also very important for society. Now, here's a very important thing, and we often forget this, that human beings, we are social animals. I use the term animal, right? We're not, of course, we're humans, we're not animals exactly, but meaning that we live in societies. You know, that's it. We're designed by Allah to live together. To be together. We are the best of ourselves when we live together, when we work together, when we cooperate together. And yes, sometimes it sure may be tempting to run off and just, you know, you get fed up with everybody. But in reality, as human beings, we achieve our best potential when we support each other, we help each other, we live together. And this is something very, very important, okay? So these are societies. Human beings, we are creatures that live in communities, right? And that adds a whole different layers of complexity to our lives, right? A whole, because how do you build? Now our concern as Muslims is not only how can I be successful as an individual, right? How can I reach inner peace? How can I reach happiness? How can I be, you know, how can I learn to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that Allah loves me, because this is what it's all about, in my opinion, brothers and sisters. We're all on this journey, right? And where we want to be at this end of this journey is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we love Allah and Allah loves us. and we are with the people whom Allah loves. You see, this is really what it's all about in the end, brothers and sisters, right? This is what it's about, okay? So this is it. But you know, actually in reality, that we achieve this best by helping and supporting one another, right? So when we have societies of people dedicated to that goal, and we have scholars, and we have people with insight, and people who are worshippers of Allah, and we enjoin what is right, and we forbid what is wrong, and we encourage each other upon birr and taqwa, upon righteousness and fearing Allah, it's in this atmosphere of mutual support and encouragement that we can build truly amazing societies, truly beautiful environments for us all to live, alhamdulillah, right? So the very, very bedrock of a society like that is marriage, right? Because it's in marriage, you see, that's where it all starts. If we have marriage and we have a man and a woman and they are together and they are helping and supporting each other in righteousness and they are bringing up children upon this path, upon this goal, upon this objective to know Allah, to love Allah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So then what is society made of? Society is just made of individuals, right? So the initial school, right? The first school, the most important learning place is the family, is the mum and the dad. That's really where it all starts. And, you know, that goes on actually throughout life. So you can see that marriage, and that's why Islam is so emphasizes the importance of preserving marriage and making marriage last and making marriage happy and making marriage successful. So this is where I'm going to bring in the topic of sex. Now, of course, marriage is not all about sex, right? But sex is very important, okay, in my opinion. Why is sex so much fun? I mean, there's no doubt sex is extremely enjoyable for most people, right? I mean, most human beings, lots of human beings are obsessed with it. Okay, this is the fact. We have to be frank and we have to talk honestly. There is no point us, not dealing with these issues, right? Sex is fun. Sex is great. Okay, most people, and we're designed like that. Why? Why is it? This is very, very important to understand, right? Now, I'm going to digress a little bit here into science, right? It's not a digression. I could say you can use it to emphasize it, right? And there's lots of different theories. It's very interesting. There are actually lots of different theories about why that is. Why do human beings get so much pleasure from that intimate act, right? Now, for me, the theory that I think is very convincing, and there is some very strong evidence for this, right? It is about building bonds. It is about building bonds, okay? Because when two people have sex, there is a chemical that gets released, a chemical that affects our brain, okay? Okay, so in fact, there are a whole load of chemicals that get released, okay? But the very important chemical, right, okay, is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is really, really important. And what it does is it actually builds bonds. It's also, by the way, released when the mother is breastfeeding, right? And it's also released during sex, okay? So this chemical, oxytocin, actually helps a human being form a bond, right? So this is some very strong scientific evidence that supports this idea that the reason why sex is so enjoyable is it is a bonding mechanism. The enjoyability of sex is a bonding mechanism, right? And so that's why, and this is very important, brothers and sisters. Now I want to talk frankly, I want to talk about a very important thing. This is why you should confine sex to marriage. Right? This is why casual sex, and I include within this pornography, is so dangerous. It is so damaging, not just to the individual, but it is damaging to the society. Because what does it do? You have to think about what's going on, what you're doing. You see, when you are having this intimate connection with another, you know, human being, this sexual relationship, right? This chemical is being released. And this chemical, what is it doing? It's creating feelings that you want to bond with this person. You want to bond with that person, right? Yet, if you're having casual sex, and okay, you could argue, yeah, well, I have a boyfriend and we stay together, or a girlfriend and we stay together for a year or 3 years or 4 years, right? Okay, you know, the human being can take that. Sometimes people get married and they get divorced, right? But I'm talking about casual sex, like people are sleeping with a different person every week, every day. You know, they might be 17 years old and they've had, you know, 15, whatever, right? 15 people they've, you know. Now the problem here, what does this do? What does this do, right? When you begin to treat sex like entertainment, like, you know, sport, like entertainment, like, oh yeah, I'm bored, what are we going to do? Oh, let's have some sex, right? And then with one day it's with this person, with the next day this is that person. Now this chemical is being released, and this chemical is telling you that you need to bond with that person, but you don't even see that person the next day. Maybe that person like walks off and disappears. What does that do to you emotionally? What does that do to you? That is going to start messing you up big time. Now, in order to cope with this, what are you going to do? You're actually going to start shutting yourself down. You're going to start shutting yourself down emotionally, right? And so when you do one day decide to get married, right, then this activity is nothing special anymore. It's not a special thing. It's stopped being a bonding mechanism, right? And here's a very amazing statistic. Right? 50% of love marriages finish, end in divorce. 50% of love marriages. Arranged marriages, it's about 2.5% that end in divorce. 2.5% for arranged marriages, 50% breaking up for love marriages. Wow. Right? Now there's a lot of things to do there, right? There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of extra reasons, right? There's a pressure on, I don't want to go into it, right? But even if you get rid of all of these reasons, right? In societies that advocate love marriages, why? They're also the same societies that believe in, you know, the casual sex. That's the reality, right? So brothers and sisters, this is the same for pornography, right? This is why you find that people who are addicted to porn, they are dysfunctional. They become sexually dysfunctional, right? They can't bond with people. They become aggressive, right? They have real psychological problems, okay? And this is another problem with the prevalence of nudity and, you know, men and women. It's not just about women, but men and women, you know, displaying themselves. And what does this do? The problem here is that the threshold at which people become stimulated and excited by each other gets higher and higher and higher, right? And so therefore, just take an example. You know, you've been out all day, you've been looking at all these movies and these singers and all of these people, and they're so good looking and they're so good handsome. And then you look at your husband, doesn't look anything like that. You look at your wife, she doesn't look anything like that, right? And you don't find your husband or your wife exciting. What does this do? It breaks. It starts to break the bonds that are so important in holding the marriage together. It starts to break it. Can you understand the wisdom? The wisdom of what Allah tells us when He says, let the believing men and the believing women lower their gaze. Let them lower their gaze and guard their private parts. This is what Allah is telling us in the Quran. Can you see the wisdom of it, brothers and sisters? This is what I'm saying. Islam is such a beautiful way of life. And of course, it's not that there is not some good in all of this other stuff, right? You know, we're not going to deny that two people can fall in love and not get married. You know, they can be not married and still be in love and still be, have a sort of happiness and whatever, right? And so we're not going to deny that. But the point is, but where's the overriding benefit? Where is the overriding harm? In the long term, what is the effect? Not only on you as an individual, but the whole society. And this is something we have to remember. We have responsibilities to everybody else. Everything you do, everything you say, the way that you behave it impacts the world around you. You have to understand this, brothers and sisters, right? And this is what I often say to sisters, you know, that your hijab is a type of social responsibility. You are doing an amazing act for the benefit of society. When you are covering your beauty, when you are not displaying your beauty, alhamdulillah, you are protecting society from harm. You are doing an amazing thing by that. You know, just like a nurse or a doctor or a person who goes out and digs people out of the rubble. These people are heroes. Sisters wearing hijab, you're heroes or heroines, right? Because you're doing an amazing thing. You're helping to protect society. Alhamdulillah, this is an amazing thing, right? How would you like to be responsible on the Day of Judgment? That some man sees you or, you know, he is, and you know, it's not, I mean, you could say it's not your fault. But you have to, this is Islam. Islam deals with the reality. Islam deals with the reality. It's very easy to talk about an ideal world and, oh, men should be like this and women should be like that and you shouldn't have to be like this and you shouldn't have to be like that. Right. Okay. Let's deal with the way things actually are. Not according to some ideal, that it's very easy to talk about ideals and how things should be. But Islam deals with human nature, right? And you can see this when you start to study psychology, you start to study the science of these things, then you begin to understand, brothers and sisters, the wisdom of Islam, the brilliance of Islam, okay? So, alhamdulillah. We talked about marriage, we've talked about sex, now let's talk about love, right? What is love, right? There's lots of types of love, right? But I want to talk about, first of all, the crazy, you know, the love when people talk about a person being mad, about being insane, you know, this madness, this love that is mad. And really, there is a type of love that is like that. And actually, some psychologists think that it actually has some actual indications of insanity. And the reason is a combination of chemicals in the brain, right? So the combination of chemicals in the brain is dopamine. So for all of you who've done my 7 Pillars of Willpower course, you will know exactly what dopamine is. But for those of you who haven't, okay, yet, inshallah, you will. Okay, dopamine is the desire chemical in your brain. It's the thing that makes you want stuff, right? It doesn't make you happy. It's not the happiness chemical. That's not right. Dopamine makes you want stuff. Now, the stuff that you want will not necessarily make you happy. Dopamine doesn't care. Dopamine is what drives you. It drives you towards food, and it drives you towards sex, and it drives you towards the things that you want, right? The things that you think you want, or that dopamine thinks you want, right? So anything that promises a reward, that is where dopamine kicks in. So dopamine, right? When a person is passionately in love, passionate love, right? You have dopamine. So you have this desire, you have this want, this really strong want and this desire, right? Then you have adrenaline. Now, adrenaline is what you feel when, you know, adrenaline is what you feel when you're going to be attacked by someone or something, right? Adrenaline, right? That's adrenaline. When your heart starts to beat faster and you start to sweat and then you, boom, you have this energy and you're just ready to go, right? That is adrenaline. So you've got desire and you've got adrenaline feeding that desire, right? And then on top of that, you've got serotonin. Now, serotonin, what does serotonin do? Serotonin is what they call the willpower chemical. Serotonin allows you to focus, right? It makes you focus in on one thing. That's serotonin. Serotonin is what makes you focus on one thing. That is why a person who is passionately in love, sometimes all they can think about is that person. They literally cannot almost think about anything except that one person, right? That's the neurotransmitter serotonin kicking in, right? So you combine dopamine, adrenaline, and serotonin, and you are pretty much insane, right? In the sense that you don't have control of your prefrontal cortex, where all the thinking and the pausing and the planning goes, your intellect, you lose it. That combination of dopamine, adrenaline, and serotonin, it, like your brain, you are not going to be able to think. You are not going to be able to think, right? And that's, you find, this is why poets and plays and writers and songs, they talk about, you know, how crazy love is. And that it really is, you, because you're almost insane. You really are almost insane, right? Now, to be honest, right, if you have that in type of insane, passionate love, and it's in the context of marriage, this is something good. It will really, really help you bond with that person. And that's the purpose of it, right? Because when you get, what, why? Why again? Let's go back to the why. What are you going to do? When you have intercourse with someone, biologically, what's this all about? It's about having kids. You just, that's fundamentally what it's about. Having kids means you're going to raise these little creatures, right? The woman is going to walk around for 9 months carrying this child, right? And then she's going to give birth. And it takes how many years? Like 3 years before it can even really begin to look after itself in any way, right? And it goes way beyond that. I mean, some mothers think even when their sons are 40 and their daughters are 40 or 50, they still think they have to look after them, right? Okay, that's another extreme. But really, literally, a child, if it is left on its own, I don't know, maybe it needs to be like 7 or 8, or it would just not survive. Probably. Very unlikely you would know how to survive. That's 7 years, right? That's just to raise one child. You need to be together for 7 years to raise that child. You're going to need some really seriously powerful stuff going on chemically between you to keep you together. You think about it. That's the biology of it. That's what the bio. That's the biology of it, right? I'm not talking about anything else except what the biological mechanisms, right? So this is why within the context of marriage, right? And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, there's nothing better for a person who is in love, has this type of passionate love, than they get married, right? It's the best thing for them. Okay, so yes, brothers and sisters. So this is the passionate type of love, okay? But so really what we find is that with this bonding mechanism that we talked about, alhamdulillah, what really is love? I want to talk about what is love. So that's a little bit about the chemistry of love, right? But philosophically, what is love, right? And this is the last bit now, okay? So, and brothers and sisters, I'm going to try to have a question and answer session at the end. I don't know how well that's going to work, because I can only see like two of you writing comments at one time here on my screen. But inshallah, we're going to try and take some questions, right? If any of you are watching me on YouTube, again, we can try and see if you can answer questions there, right? I am broadcasting this on YouTube. Inshallah, I'm going to be doing that as well in the future. So let's finish off love. Right? What is love? Right? So for me, and I've thought about this a lot, I don't think really love is that complicated, right? People may think it's complicated, but I think it's pretty easy, right? I think love is when you put a person above yourself. That's what love is. When you care about somebody or something more and you put it above yourself, right? That's what love is. You will not truly believe until you love your brother what you love for yourself. See, the Sahaba, this is how they were. They loved each other, right? They loved each other, which means they preferred their Muslim brother to themselves. That's why that beautiful story of the four Muslims who had been wounded in battle, and they were all calling for water, and then, you know, someone bought water for one, and the person next to him was calling for water. He said, give it to my brother. And then the other one was going to be given the water, and he heard someone calling for the water. He said, give it to my brother. And then the other one, he heard someone else calling for water. And by the time he went back to the first one, he had died. And then the next one had died, and the next one had died. So subhanAllah, this is how they preferred their Muslim brother and sister to themselves, right? This is the reality of love, right? And so that's the same, right? When you really love someone, you are ready to sacrifice. That you're ready to sacrifice things you want and things you love for them. And that's, I guess that's in many ways what marriage is about. Marriage is all about compromise, right? A man is going to sacrifice stuff for the sake of his wife. Now, he's not going to sacrifice everything, and that would be silly, right? Because he has to keep himself sane, and, you know, he has his duties to society. He has his duties, he has many duties to his mum, to his dad, right? And to others, right? But generally, this is it. You know, the same with a wife. The wife will, there may be many things she wants to do, but she will sacrifice those things for her husband. This is the reality of love, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be some passionate, obsessive thing. This is passionate love. But real love, true love, is that ability to sacrifice, right? It's to compromise in order to make that person happy and to help that person. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, this is the reality of love, right? This is the reality of love, right? And the most important love of all I want to finish with is, of course, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important love is the love for Allah. And Allah is the only one, brothers and sisters. There is a type of love that we must give to Allah that we are not allowed to give to anyone else. And if we give to anyone else this type of love, then we have made that person an idol. We have made that person a partner with Allah. We have made that person an equal with Allah. And that is shirk, and that is the greatest sin. To make something or anybody equal with Allah is the greatest sin. And if you die on that, you will go to hell and you will never come out. Right? So this is very serious. So the type of love that we give to Allah is the love of complete submission. The type of love that we give to Allah is the love of complete submission. Submission and complete obedience. The only one that we submit to completely and obey completely is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, I don't want to get deep into this. This does not mean you may not commit sins. It doesn't mean you may not transgress Allah's commands. But what it means is that you accept what Allah has forbidden, you accept as forbidden. What Allah has said is good, you accept it as being good. And you accept it and you love it. And you acknowledge that this is from Allah's wisdom and His knowledge. Right? And so this is the reality. Right? And Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَحِبُّنَ اللَّهِ فَتَابِيُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. So if you want to know what is the reality of loving Allah, it means following the Prophet. So this verse of the Quran is saying, قُلْ, say, meaning, O Muhammad, because the Quran is primarily revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَحِبُّنَ اللَّهِ. If it is true that you love Allah, follow me. Meaning, follow the Prophet. يَحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. And Allah will love you. If you want Allah to love you, and there is no greater objective that you can have except that Allah will love you. What could be better than that? That Allah would love you, brothers and sisters. Right? So if you want Allah to love you, and it's true that you love Allah, if you love Allah, then you will follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will follow his guidance, you will follow his sunnah. You will follow him not only in how he worshipped Allah, in how he believed in Allah, but in his manners, in his morals, in his, in his kindness, and his softness, and his gentleness, and his mercy. And his treatment of others. This is all part of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers and sisters, this is what we all need to help each other to do. We need to help each other to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, we go back to marriage, right? That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing in marriage, right? Helping each other to follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? If we do that, alhamdulillah, we will be truly happy and successful in this life and the next. And that's enough for us, brothers and sisters. We don't need Valentine or whatever these other things, alhamdulillah. If we just follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we just follow the example of our messenger, if we look into how he behaved with his wives, how kind and loving he was to them, how considerate he was to them, how he treated them. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to help out in the house. He used to look after his own things. He was so affectionate to his wives. Aisha would talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, he would drink, and then he would give the cup to Aisha, and he would give it to her so she could drink from exactly the same place that she drank. And she said, and this is when I was on my menses, just to show, right, his love and affection and his kindness. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So brothers and sisters, we have this beautiful thing in Islam. And so I'm really, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair to all of you for joining me, for sticking with me throughout this Facebook Live. I will be back again, inshallah ta'ala, if I don't have another talk. If I do a talk somewhere, I will broadcast it Facebook Live. But regularly, every Thursday, inshallah, at 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, okay, UK time, inshallah, I'm going to be here on Facebook and on YouTube. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, even though there's only one video on it. But inshallah, I am going to be uploading more and more videos onto YouTube, inshallah. So I want to build a really, really awesome YouTube channel, inshallah. I'm going to be putting some stuff. I might even be putting some lessons from my courses, right? Alhamdulillah, just for free for you guys to see, inshallah. I got some exciting plans, alhamdulillah, for my willpower course and the other modules I've done on mindset and learning how to learn, okay, and sabr and patience, and the webinars that I've done. And as you know, brothers and sisters, I've got big plans, alhamdulillah. Really, I just want to say that I'm really asking you guys to come with me on a journey, to come with me and for us to help each other on this journey, because that's what it is, right? To help each other on this journey. The end of this journey, I'm hoping that we will be people who love Allah and Allah loves us. That's the ultimate destination of this journey, right? But to get there, we need some foundations, right? We need the right mindset, right? We need the right way of thinking about ourselves and the world around us, right? We need sabr. It's very important. And in order to get sabr, we need to understand, we need to be able to control our desires. That's willpower. It's all about controlling your desires, right? We need to learn how to learn. Learning is very important. Knowledge is so important. So I have my idea of what I think are these building blocks that we need, right? Inshallah, you'll be hearing a lot more from me about these things. I know a lot of these courses for some of you are totally unaffordable. I appreciate that, brothers and sisters. You know, I'm thinking about this a lot. I'm seeing what I can do, inshallah. Hopefully, hopefully we'll come out with some things very soon in the future. But for those of you who can, support the work that we're doing, if you can afford these classes, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, for those of you who can afford it, masteryclasses.com, alhamdulillah, you will find, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, if you don't find it changes your life, we'll give you your money back. It's that simple. 30 days, you can try it. And if it's no good, take it. We'll give you your money back. And really, alhamdulillah, 500 plus students, people are saying it's transformed their lives. It transformed my life. That's why I wanted to teach you about it as well, alhamdulillah. But inshallah, for those of you who can't afford it and really genuinely you can't, inshallah, we are working on stuff. We're going to see what we can do. I'm not going to give it away right now. But until, I can't even say this is going to be like really soon. But inshallah, brothers and sisters, you know, make dua, right? Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, helps us and guides us to do the right thing, to do what is truly pleasing to Him. That is what is most important, to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And do things for His pleasure, okay? I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week. I haven't decided yet. I have something in my mind that I want to talk about: balance, being balanced, following the middle way, following the middle path, the balanced path. But inshallah, watch this space, brothers and sisters. Watch this space. So, okay, until next Thursday, inshallah, may Allah bless you all, Kamara, Muhammad, Zahar, Zubair, Khas, and I'm going to scroll down, who, Miriam, and Yaz, and Lubna, and SubhanAllah. Anyway, I'm going to be going through all of your comments as much as I can, right? If you do have any questions, you can just, you know, ask me on Facebook here. I'll answer all of them, or you can maybe, I don't know how it works on YouTube. But inshallah, either way, brothers and sisters, I will do my best, especially on this topic. I don't have a marriage bureau, so I can't help to get you married, right? But you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really sincere, passionate dua. You know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of your heart. You know, inshallah, Allah is the one, muqabbal dua, He's the one who's going to answer your prayers, inshallah ta'ala. So never forget to turn to Allah and ask Him. Brothers and sisters, that's it from me. May Allah bless you until next Thursday. Abdurrahim Green, that's me, saying assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless you. May you have a blessed Jum'ah. Don't forget dua al-istijaba. That is the dua that you can make in the last hour of Friday, right? The last hour of Friday before Maghrib, right? That last hour before Maghrib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you ask Allah in this hour, He will give you what you are asking for, brothers and sisters. So don't forget, it's the essence of worship. Call to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, Allah will give you, inshallah, what you need. Not maybe always what you want. So until then, brothers and sisters, jazakallah khair. And if you haven't shared this already, and I always forget, if you haven't shared it, make sure you share it so others can benefit from this. And who knows, subhanallah, maybe you will share it, and what a person hears will change their life and keep them from some haram, or inspire them to do some amazing good deed, and you will share in the blessings of that. Brothers and sisters, I love you for the sake of Allah, and may Allah guide us all on the straight path to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's it from me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.